Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's look into the future for a minute. Let's say there is a safe and effective vaccine for COVID-19 that is ready for use this year. How will it get to everyone who needs it? Joining us now is Dr. William Moss, who's executive director of the International Vaccine Access Center at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Moss, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and let's say that it's an American company like Moderna that develops the vaccine first and it's approved by the FDA. What happens next to first manufacture enough of it and then distribute it?
Yes. So there are two broad issues here. One is how we can scale up manufacturing and the logistics of distributing a vaccine. And the second large issue that we'll need to wrestle with is how to prioritize who will first get a vaccine. So in terms of the distribution side, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is really the leading institution in the United States and of the government that will oversee the distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine. They've contracted to McKesson Corporation, which is a company that has a lot of experience in distributing vaccines. They distribute about 150 million doses per year. And McKesson will work with the CDC to distribute a vaccine to all the different places that need it within the United States. This is going to include public health departments, large healthcare organizations, hospitals, doctor's offices, and pharmacies. What's going to be really critical is that we can do this quickly and maintain what is called the cold chain. The cold chain is something that's a key part of vaccine distribution. Almost all vaccines need to be kept cold. And some of our newer vaccines, like you mentioned the Moderna vaccine, which is a messenger RNA vaccine, are going to have particularly stringent cold chain requirements. They may even require storage of the vaccine at much lower temperatures than we do for standard vaccines.
Well, and the other thing is you're talking about distributing it through the United States. If the United States, if a company in the United States develops a vaccine, I imagine that, you know, France, Germany, countries all across the world are going to be wanting it too.
Yes, and that's a really important question. How will a vaccine manufactured in the United States, will it be available to people around the world in countries in Europe, for example? But there's also concern about getting a vaccine to some of the lower and middle income countries, let's say throughout sub-Saharan Africa and Asia. And right now, it's not entirely clear how that process is going to work. My own sense is that a vaccine manufactured in the United States will probably be prioritized for people within the United States. Unfortunately, the current administration is cutting ties with the World Health Organization and particularly a program called COVAX, which is led by the World Health Organization, Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, that are coordinating efforts to ensure equitable distribution of a vaccine around the world. So it's not yet clear how a vaccine manufactured in the United States would be prioritized within the United States and then outside the United States.
Well, and on the flip side, what if the vaccine gets developed in China or Israel? Then would the United States be second or even later down the list in terms of access to that vaccine?
I think so. That's a very important question. But and there are efforts to try to avoid vaccine nationalism, where countries that develop a vaccine are using it only in their own country. And it's going to be a very tricky political decision to determine how vaccines will be allocated within the country and then shared more globally. Again, I think countries will probably prioritize at least some of the high priority groups within their own country. This may be healthcare workers, essential workers, those vulnerable populations like the elderly or people with comorbid conditions that make them at particular high risk for both disease and death. I think those people will probably be prioritized within the country, but we definitely need an ongoing conversation and plan about how to ensure that as vaccines manufacturing is scaled up, they'll actually get to the people who need them.
You talked about McKesson and having experience getting vaccines to tens of millions of people, but have we ever seen anything like this where a similar situation where you have a disease that is all over the world and just about everybody is going to want access to this vaccine?
Right. This really, in many ways, is an unprecedented situation. The most similar situation, I will say, at least in recent history, was the 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic, where there was concern about widespread transmission of influenza virus and the potential for a lot of mortality. That would be the most recent example where there was this kind of global need for a vaccine. But that didn't pan out, fortunately. We didn't see the deaths that we're seeing now with COVID-19 and the widespread transmission of SARS coronavirus 2. So I think we're really in new territory here. The other thing that makes the H1N1 influenza pandemic different is that we had a lot of experience with influenza vaccines. People knew about them. We knew what they were. Here, we're trying to develop new vaccines to a new virus. Mm-hmm. And some of the vaccine platforms or the way these vaccines are being manufactured is quite different than ways that we've done so in the past. We talked about the Moderna vaccine, a messenger RNA vaccine. That's a really new type of vaccine. Some of the other leading vaccine candidates are adenovirus vector vaccines, where the gene of the spike protein of SARS coronavirus is inserted into an adenovirus that's then administered. That, too, is a relatively new vaccine. It's been approved just this year in July for Ebola, but we have this problem of, or challenge, I'll say, of new vaccine types, multiple different vaccines being manufactured in several countries, and the challenge of getting this to a global population. I hope you're right, Jeremy, that most people will want this vaccine, but that mm-hmm. too is a big concern. And recent polls in the United States suggest that only perhaps half of people would be willing to get a vaccine.
Would somebody who gets a vaccine, though, be in danger because of the person who doesn't get a vaccine?
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully that a person who gets the vaccine will develop protective immunity that will last for a long time. But both of those are still uncertain. There's been talk about what would be an acceptable vaccine effectiveness. And we've set the bar relatively low. People are talking about a vaccine that maybe protects only half the people who get the vaccine, or 75% of people who get the vaccine. We also do not know yet how long this protection will last after vaccination. So with an ideal vaccine that offers protection to almost everyone who gets the vaccine and that has durable immunity, then such people who are vaccinated would not need to worry. But if only half of those people are protected and that protection is short-lived, yes, then they would need to worry about those who do not get the vaccine, because those are the people who could transmit the virus to both vaccinated and unvaccinated individuals.
Let me ask you one more thing, because businesses, large and small, as well as schools, of course, are trying to figure out what to do. When can people come back to the office? And obviously, at this point in time, there's a risk in allowing workers or asking workers to come back in. And then, you know, what if one of them gets coronavirus? Who's on the hook for that? So let's pretend, best case scenario, there's a vaccine that comes out by the end of this year. How long do you think it will take until that is widely available enough where companies can say to their workers, okay, come on back?
Right. This timeline for when a vaccine will be available and when it will be available to the general public is an important timeline, but there's still a fair amount of uncertainty about that. There's no doubt that early on, there will not be sufficient quantity of vaccine doses to vaccinate everyone who wants to get vaccinated. And there's a lot of thinking right now by a number of expert groups trying to think about who should be prioritized. But my own guess would be that it won't be until mid or late 2021 that we'll have a vaccine available to the general public so that employers, for example, could require that their employees get a vaccine. I think we're going to need to prioritize, and that's probably going to be, as we said earlier, healthcare workers, essential workers, those who are most vulnerable. And then slowly, as vaccine manufacturing capacity increases, make the vaccine available to a wider public.
That is Dr. William Moss, who is the executive director of the International Vaccine Access Center at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Moss, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we'd like to hear from you. Will you get a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as it's available? Let us know at hereandnow.org. And by the way, would you go back to work in the office if that's what you were doing before if you didn't have a vaccine? Hereandnow.org.